Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction Tuesday, The Distraction Reviews. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined by the Chubby Chief, Joseph Holbert. Joe, are you ready for this? An animated film for the first time in Distraction Reviews history.
Am I ready for this is frankly disrespectful. This is, you know, fans of the show, God bless them, they'll remember that last week I was mourning somewhat the loss of draft content on this program. You know, and here I am. Not only do I have no more draft to discuss, I am instead now discussing Scooby-Doo. And I'm here. I definitely watched the film we're about to review, folks. But if you told me I didn't, you could convince me within a few minutes. So here we are. I will try my best. I have notes. And as Jeremy has informed me, he also has a game to accompany mine. So this should be quite the adventure we go on here.
We have two games to play. You have a game. We've been playing games. We played Zig or Zag 2 weeks ago, Pager Pal last week. I don't know what you have in store for this week. You don't know what I have in store for this week, because I have a game as well. So this is a mystery. Yeah. We're going to unmask these games at some point.
Well, I like that. I like what you're doing there. I like the symmetry you're providing. But at some point, I do feel we're going to have to discuss this film. And at that juncture, I sensed it could go after hours. Because your energy levels, currently, Jeremy, are very, very optimistic. It almost seems like you expect a performance from me here, in the sense that I'm going to analyze Scooby-Doo.
No, you're not the artistic ace analyst anymore, so I don't expect that anymore. But I got glasses on, Joseph, so I'm here to analyze.
I wondered if that was what you were doing there. I'm unsure if it is, but I like the idea that it is. So for on-air purposes, that's the reason we're going
to Yes, for on-air purposes, I'm wearing glasses to be more professional for this show and be a true analyst. Reminder, guys, leave us a super chat. It'll get your question, statement, comment read on air. It's the best way to support everything we do at Fightful. Subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/Fightful. Leave us a thumbs up. Tap the bell for notifications. Plenty of ways to support. Go to Fightful.com. Go to Fightful Select. Sean just interviewed Bret Hart today. That's going up shortly. I mean, I've never heard of him. Don't know who he's beaten, but apparently that's a big deal. I just buried our top star on this show. Like the guy we always put over.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty big stars now, though, right? I mean, from what I can tell, we are. I'm not saying we're Bret the Hitman Hart levels. We're on our way. We're Jim the Anvil Neidhart, at least, at this point, in the game. I don't know, you may be Bret, because you're a bigger star. You get on Reddit every once in a while. I'm definitely Jim.
I'm banned from getting on Reddit because my bit got banned. Guys, we are here to review Scooby-Doo and WWE Curse of the Speed Demon, our first animated film. I gave you two choices last week, and I didn't even get to my second choice because your reaction to the Scooby-Doo film was so great that I said, all right, well, we're just going to do this. I didn't know how an animated film, because usually we talk about the performances and stuff. There's no performances to talk about. There's voice performances, but there's no, like, mannerisms and stuff to really dive into. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I mean, that's one issue that we certainly run into here. The other is that, and we discussed this briefly off air, so I'm going to make my point now before you trample over it with your disagreement. We have done a lot of programming that was definitely not aimed at us. Wouldn't you agree? Like, for example, what was the
Main
Miz
event.
Page? Well, yes, that certainly. What was the Miz Page Christmas vehicle?
The Christmas film in August? Santa's Little Helper, right? Is that what it's called?
I believe so, yeah. Films like that are clearly aimed at a younger audience. But they are made badly enough that we can get content out of them. Now, here's the thing, folks. I'm going to start off hot here with a big take. Scooby-Doo are pretty good at this stuff for kids, man. I mean, I'm sorry, but they're pretty competent. You know, you don't have any sort of wild obstacle course closing scenes with the Miz falling over. You don't have any of that. It is an animated film with Scooby-Doo. Of course, it is well made. So you are correct. This will be quite the task for our analyst's purposes. I'll say that much.
See, you approach this, as you usually do, in the wrong way.
Yes.
In that you, I don't know what, how you are approaching this. I approach this as an 8-year-old kid, because most of the time I am an 8-year-old kid. So I was ready for this film. I was prepared to enjoy this film, and enjoy this film I did.
Okay, I have to ask now. So you watched this, you watched the first half of this before Raw.
I watched
correct?
The first hour of this before Raw.
Okay. So for that hour, you was an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah.
We agree on that much.
Yeah.
When you changed to Raw, did you remain an 8-year-old kid? And if so, how did you feel when the Fiend Bray Wyatt held hands with Alexa Bliss?
I loved it. I love love. 8-year-old me, 32-year-old me.
I love love. Okay, good.
I'm a hopeless romantic, Joseph. I don't know if you know this about me, but I 100% am.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I got what I wanted there. I love love. It was an extraordinary love. Okay.
I watched the other 20 minutes of this film in the middle of Raw. I paused, or I didn't pause, I just muted that AJ Styles and Matt Riddle match and was like, eh. They did like 30 video packages. It's like, eh, just watch the end of this movie.
Did you realize, because I know you had it on mute, but Matt Riddle pointed out that it is quite the riddle.
Yeah, I tweeted this. I didn't have this segment on mute.
Okay, so was the bit that he doesn't get what it means to be ironic, or did the writer not get it?
The bit is that this man is dead in the water. That's the bit. He's dead in the water.
Oh, I mean, that's a kind of grey area tackling itself. You'll get no complaints from me. But yes, it was certainly the line to give a man when you're trying to send him off elsewhere, I felt. But nonetheless, back to Scooby-Doo and the Curse of the Many Races and WWE. That's what this is called. Should we get to the film, Jeremy?
Let's get to it. Let's get to it. I cannot see at all in these glasses. That's an issue. Yeah, that's definitely an issue. This is basically, I don't want to call it Wacky Races. Did you ever watch that as a kid, Joseph? Wacky Races? Oh my God, my game might be over your head. I'm a little worried about it.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Because here's the thing. I think everyone knows where I'm going with the games, because I've set a precedent. But, like, my games today is like a trilogy of games. There's, like, three sets of a game. Should I try to start with a game?
Yeah, sure.
In order to get some rhythm going.
Sure.
So, we have three names that made my kind of game bald here. We have Miz, we have Michael Cole, and we have the artist formerly known as Rusev, Miro. And today's game will be, firstly, Miz or mate, Michael or mate, Miro or mate. I will now pass you the ball, Jeremy. You can tell me which of those names you'd like to start with for today's event.
Let's start with Michael Cole.
Fantastic. Okay. Michael Cole or Joey Styles? Michael or mate?
Michael Cole.
Yes. Correct answer. I like Michael. I wanted to give him like a lob. The thing about Joey Styles is, as much as he is perfect for the time of which he was Joey Styles, ECW announcer, equally bad in hindsight, looking back and hearing the screams down the head. So I agree with you on this. That is the first of a trilogy set of games. There are more for each, by the way. We have three names for each. So
oh my
there's a lot
God.
Of- So we have a lot going on. Back to the film and what you were talking about, wacky racing, whatever you said.
So people will know if they know wacky races what I'm talking about here. But Stephanie McMahon has created this idea, the Muscle Moto X Off-Road Challenge. All right? That's what it's called. Big branding opportunity. Stephanie is branching out on her own. She saw her dad with the XFL and the World Bodybuilding Federation, saw how that went. She thought, let's get into monster truck racing. I don't blame her. I'm for this idea for Stephanie. This is a big ad for Stephanie McMahon, but they put her over so much in this film.
Yeah,
that's how I walked away from this film. I said, I want to grow up and be like Stephanie McMahon.
So all of these wrestlers, they get introduced at different points. And it's like, you know, like the Celtic Warrior, and they have all this stuff. And when the crew meets Stephanie, she's genuinely introduced as like a champion in the ring and a champion in the office. One of the greatest women to ever live. And she like stands up and everyone cheers. And I was just like, man, this certainly feels as though it had some creative liberty taken with which character's got the shine here. But it all comes full circle though, Jeremy.
It does. Fans. It does.
Like any great heel, in the end, the comeuppance is delivered. So,
spoiler alert.
Yes. Spoiler alert. Yeah, she made it clear. For anyone that's still with us, folks, spoiler alert. So should we run through our cast of characters, or should we just sort of touch on the relevant ones as they sort of arise during the plot here?
I mean, they're all relevant, but the teams are... You have the legendary team of Dusty Rhodes and The Undertaker.
Yes.
You've got Miz and Paige, you know, rekindling their Santa's Little Helper chemistry in the monster truck. Rusev and Lana, which makes sense. Lana is a Russian accent Lana in this film, by the way, not WWE Raw Women's Champion Lana. And then you have Sheamus, Stardust, and Goldust, right? Am I missing anybody? Missing any teams? Well,
Kofi Kingston is a reporter.
Yeah, he's a reporter on a drone, essentially.
So when people do like the story in 20 years and they'll be like, you know, Kofi, he went from being a mid-card guy to a tag team superstar to them being the biggest match at WrestleMania. What they should say is, he went from being the reporter on Scooby-Doo and the Curse of the Many Races WWE to becoming the lead I Watch All Steel Cage Match man in WWE 2020. He did that in just 4 years. He achieved all that. Because here he's just a reporter. Just a nothing reporter, bless him. And this is in the midst of the New Day. 2016, New Day is already a thing. And they just said, we need Kofi. So what are we going to do? I don't know, a reporter. We need Los Matadors as a team.
Los Matadors was there.
We need Los Matadors instead. So credit to Kofi for becoming the cage match watcher man. That was very good.
I did not think you were going to recall that bit. That was tremendous.
Okay. Jeremy. Michael or mate? Okay. Michael Cole or Mike Tenay? Michael or mate? In this case, Mike.
I'm going Mike Tenay. I'm going Mike Tenay.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a big Don West guy. I feel that's...
Yes, but like, Tenay was very good at that stuff. Like, I think Cole is very good too, but Cole has become so much of just WWE produced that he's great, he's a professional, but Tenay actually had some type of uniqueness to him, especially in TNA working alongside Don West.
And also, he had the Iron Mike run where he would, like, they wouldn't ever introduce him particularly. It's just when there was a match on a WCW pay-per-view which had anyone that went on the top rope, Mike would just, like, slot in. And Tony would be like, here's Iron Mike, here he is. He would do 5 matches on an 8-match card, no one would give him any credit. So, yes, that's fair enough. Back to Scooby-Doo and the Curse of the Many Races WWE Wrestling. So, yes, we have all these teams. Dusty wants to make it to the pay window. And then the Curse of Inferno strikes, and it beats everyone up. Correct? Is this what's happened here?
Yes.
Dusty got beat up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Then we explain that this curse like goes back 100 years or something, and there's this dead man's curve thing. And then at this point, I was like...
You're enthralled by this, Joseph.
At this point, I kind of settled back, and I was like, okay... This could be a sort of troublesome ride I'm on here, because unfortunately, we are 8 minutes into the film, and all I want to do is get to the end so I can see who this Inferno man is, so I can see if I can make any podcast bits out of who he is. Unfortunately, that's not how films work. You have to watch the middle portion, generally speaking, anyway. So do you have anything to add thus far as we tackle the opening portion of this cinematic masterpiece?
So we get the speed demon, the Inferno man, as you said. He appears out of nowhere. He's not invited to these races. Sure. Or anything. He's not on the rundown. He's not on the format sheet. He just appears, and he's got a scorpion car. And I thought it was going to be Sting. I thought this is how we get our big Sting Undertaker match. But it's with the monster trucks. It's a callback to the monster truck bit we did on the distraction this past Thursday. And I was super pumped for this. It was not like that. This guy was like, what's the comic book character that Nicolas Cage played? The little skull, is he a flaming skull demon guy? Knight Ghost. Rider? Ghost Rider? Something like
Ghost
that?
Ghost Rider. I want to say it's Ghost Rider.
All right, I don't know comic books. All right, everybody, apologies. Yes, like that's kind of like what this guy was like, right? But he's in a monster truck.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, hang on, I need to find out who this is now. Please continue. Yes, this is what happens, and Dusty tries to fire back. To no avail. Am I correct in saying?
Yeah, Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider. There you go. All right. Yes. Dusty gets taken out. He can no longer compete in the wacky races, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Then we get Scooby-Doo and his crew. They get put into position. They get put in the wacky races. They're teaming with the Undertaker. Scooby and Shaggy are now teaming with the Undertaker. His vehicle's destroyed. They got a new vehicle. They get the sub sandwich vehicle, and then we get the races.
So the one slight detail you missed out on is that at one point Primo and Epico appear to be flirting with Velma, which is a very interesting kind of layer to add. Dusty cuts like a heartfelt promo on why he's there. And then he leaves, and he just sort of stands in the shadows for the rest of the film, looking over it all, shaking his head, which is fine. I mean, and my question to you would then be, who would you rather be in a monster truck race with? Dusty Rhodes in polka dots, or Scooby-Doo and Shaggy?
Dusty Rhodes, definitely. Did you notice the Undertaker Dusty Rhodes monster truck was like half Undertaker, half the instrument?
I enjoyed that because I like the idea that, like, they kept the Taker character is literally the Taker character.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that that character tolerates Dusty because, like, it's Dusty. Like, he doesn't really help me any in the race, but he's Dusty. He'll be fun for the ride. So, yes, this is where we get the Stephanie, the aforementioned champion of all things humanity, Stephanie McMahon introduction, which is very fun. And as you said, Scooby and Shaggy are inserted, and then they race. And the Undertaker is very good at racing, and he comes second with Scooby and Shaggy behind the Authority. Correct, Jeremy?
Yes.
And the Inferno Man attacks again here, though. Big shocker. The Inferno Man is back. So if you're watching this review and you're thinking, I want to check this out, try to ensure that you have a real good appetite for race scenes that at some point include a masked man putting things on fire. Because if not, it may be a bit of a slog, I must say.
Yes. The Inferno Man attacks Stephanie and Triple H. They win an advantage for the second round.
Yes.
We get a lot of talk of talc powder. That comes into play at the end of everything. Yeah, were you not paying attention to the layers and the hints that
absolutely
Scooby-Doo
not.
Was no,
I was too busy setting up my games, to which I bring you back, Michael or Mate. Michael Cole or Jim Ross? Prime for prime. Michael or Mate?
Oh, in the prime, Jim Ross.
Right.
Yeah.
I really did this whole game just to get that out there because I'm seeing a lot of well actuallys as of late. Well, you know, Cole was good with Taz, said random WrestleChatter.net Twitter account.
31.
Yeah, I don't believe... Yeah. Yes, exactly. I refuse this discussion. This is wrong. Listen, we all understand the issues with poor Jim. He gets confused, the names are difficult. He sees many men doing flips, he doesn't like the flips. Tony Schiavone is next to him and that pisses him off in itself. But at the same time, peak Jim. And it could be either, Pete. You could be like a guy who likes sports announcer gym with the Steamboat Flair and, like, you know, the sort of epic matches, or you can like just full Stone Cold fanboy gym. Either way, better than Michael Cole. Thank you. That concludes the first of the trilogy of games. I'm assuming your game's coming last. Is that what we're doing here?
Well, let's if you have a trilogy of games that you have three, I will do my games at the end of your set. So are you ready for the first edition of my game? All right?
I think so. I'm very concerned, but yes.
Mystery or Machine, Joseph?
Oh, God.
Scooby-Doo or the Flintstones?
Wait, what? What is happening? Slow down. Slow down. This poor thing's back. Okay. Your question is, Mystery or Machine?
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo or the Flintstones? So Machine will always be the alternative.
Yes.
To
alternative cartoon. Yes.
To be clear. Okay. Well, based on the fact that I have, like, recollection of one Scooby-Doo episode and none for the Flintstones, I'll take Mystery for the first tier of your game.
This is, when you said you didn't know Wacky Races, I was very concerned because I'm going to name these series and you're not going to know any of them.
No, it's not my deal. I'm sorry. I'll try my best. I'll be in the fight. You know, chin down, hands up. I'll be here. I'll be ready to go. So anyway, back to the motion picture here. What's going on now? Dusty, yes, we did.
Did you not have cartoons in the UK?
They just speak for the whole nation. Yeah. No, we have no cartoons. I don't know. Like, some stuff seeps through the memory. It's very difficult.
You didn't have the Flintstones and all those Saturday morning cartoons?
In fear of dismissing you here, Jeremy, and blaming this podcast, I think in the 9 months of trying to collect information for this show, I have perhaps lost everything else. I don't know anything. I have no idea about anything else, but I'm aware that I once reviewed a Taylor Swift like trilogy of songs. So that's like my like pop culture side of the brain now. I have nothing else. I have nothing else to add. So anyway, I will try to play your game. I'm willing to do that. So back to the film here. As I look at note 8 of my 12, everyone then does that deal where they turn on each other, right, Jeremy? Can you explain what happened here? Because I don't think I know. What was happening when everyone was arguing?
They were in a food fight. Is what happened. Yeah, they got into a food fight because, you know, it's WWE and every film we review. Remember our theory? Every film in existence has a food fight? This film has a food fight because, of course, it does.
It does. There's, I'll say this much because this sounds like I'm doing like a kind of, you know, I hate this film bit. 100% not true. Because there's fun moments here, right? And all of the WWE superstars are pretty great in their, like, being WWE superstars in a cartoon set. Like, Rusev is a glorious cartoon character. Would you not agree?
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, Goldust and Stardust goes without saying. I just, you know, this is a tough act. By the way, I want to be clear now that when we get to the end of this show and I have to pick next week, I may end up, like, really damaging myself with the options I give you because it's a choice deal. But anyway, we'll get to that later. What happens then? We have the deal where the Inferno Man, it appears he's among them because he goes to do something in the dead of night.
Yeah, he cuts.
Which causes Miz. Go ahead.
Yeah, he cuts one of the lines. He cuts it on the Authority truck, which comes back around at the very end. And yes, and this leads to a big battle scene with the Miz. And
yes, he applies the figure four leg lock. And then the Inferno Man. He
escapes.
Hang on a second. I had a different call, sorry, about very popular. Sometimes when I'm doing Scooby-Doo shows, people come in, like, I really want to talk about Scooby-Doo. So anyway, yes, he escapes, and the Miz is left befuddled.
Yeah.
As his amazing figure four has been escaped. And I could only assume that was like, you know, I think they're having some fun a few times here. There's one later that I think is either a great inside bit, or is just a tremendous piece of unintentional comedy. And I'll get to that later. But for now, I move to game two of my trilogy. Your options are, you can play Miz or Mate, or Miro or Mate. Your choice.
Let's do Miro. Let's save the best for last.
Okay. This is a real, I mean, you're talking about blockbuster names here, folks. AW Stars Collide. Miro or Jake Hager? Miro or Mate?
What am I basing this on? Like,
right, it's a grey area, right? Because their career big gold match at WrestleMania, like, maybe. So, for the sake of fun, better career.
Oh.
You don't want to say it, right?
No, I don't. I'm going to just go Miro. Look, Hager, his peak was he had the title match at WrestleMania. At least Miro was somewhat consistent in WWE as like a staple. And he did better in his personal life as well. So, yeah, we're going Miro. Okay.
Have you considered that you're wrong and actually, since being in AEW, Jake Hager has found himself as a top star? Did you know this? I've read online this was happening.
Jake Hager, did you read JR's blog? Is that where you read that from?
Yes. Yeah, it was right after the part about you picking him over Michael Cole. That was very crazy. Hell of an athlete, by the way. Big upside. He is 40 now, but he's got a hell of an upside. Anyway.
He's fighting in Bellator, like, next weekend.
Yeah. Hell of an upside. Great athlete. But that's enough about Robert O'Neill's draft selection. Back to Scooby-Doo and the many race filth. Okay.
In the second race, the sub is falling off the cliff and is going to get destroyed. Kofi is very worried in this scene, by the way. He's on the drone and he's just floating over, giving the play-by-play to the team. They're trying to call Michael Cole's trying to call the end of the race, but then he's like, let's go to Kofi and check out what's going on with this near death we have as these people plunge down the river, down this cliff. I just thought I'd put that out there because I enjoyed this scene. I enjoyed Kofi flying around on the drone giving updates as the sub sandwich was going over the waterfall.
That's fair. Is this also the race in which Triple H like just gets into his gear all of a sudden? He's like, what does he say? What's the line he has, Jeremy? It's like, you want to play games?
Yeah.
Fight the game or something like that.
And yeah,
like,
I am the game.
The music plays.
There's multiple scenes where he's in his suit. He's always in his suit. But when he's ready to battle, he just, you know, he just hulks up and the suit tears away and he's in his gear. He's always prepared. I mean, you know, that's good. Always bring your gear. He just wears his gear underneath his suit. I wonder if he does that in real life. Like when we see him on SmackDown, he was on SmackDown this past weekend, this past Friday. When he was on SmackDown, they introduced the show, Joseph Watch the Product, him and Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
Women's wrestling leader, rights activist, Stephanie McMahon. They introduced the show, and he was in his suit. I wonder, you know, things got a little out of control in that opening segment. Mm-hmm. If Triple H would have just started stripping down, and then we got the game ready to go.
Well, I do have a theory that he has, like, a personal Money in the Bank briefcase. And he has convinced Vince McMahon that stipulation's a shoot. And if anyone ever gets two over, he'll be like, just shaking it next time. Like, any thoughts? Maybe now's the time.
You should use that now, honestly. Not because the guy's getting two over, but because I don't know what else they're doing with it.
Wow, imagine Drew versus Triple H. They just did the exact same promo archetype for like 4 months. Just the exact same, like, walk back and forth across the ring about how damn good everyone is, and oh my, it'd be wonderful.
We're watching it now with Orton and Drew.
Hey. Miro or mate? Miro or NXT announcer Wade Barrett? Miro or mate?
We're going off of career still? Or are we going off number one pick?
I don't know. Whatever makes you grin widest, I don't care.
we're going with Miro. Wade Barrett never and didn't do a whole lot. Once the Nexus thing kind of ran its course and they got buried, it was like, all right, the Bad News Barrett stuff was kind of fun, but
you never was a fan of the Core.
What?
The Core.
Who?
Did you not remember the Core?
No. What is the Core?
It was the illustrious faction that followed Nexus and certainly lived up to the expectations that preceded it. Really great stuff.
Sounds amazing.
Yes. Yeah, it had such stars as Ezekiel Jackson. It had pure honor title man PJ Black, contender for that prestigious crown.
Wow.
I believe he was there. Someone else. There was other people there. Maybe Heath was in it. I can't remember. This is long. Look, I remember that, but you asked me about the Flintstones. No, out of the game. out the game. Back to Scooby-Doo. Are we at the final race of the film? I'm very concerned that we're at the final race of the film.
I think so, because we had the big fight scene. We had the team mix up there. Miz is now teamed with Rusev, and Paige is teamed with Lana. Correct? Aren't those the teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sheamus and Stardust.
Lana is like an inside woman. She's like trying to get Rusev to win. Remember this? For the pride of Russia.
Yes. Yeah. She wants to make sure her man wins. You know, credit to Lana.
Yeah, but so this is when they were trying to pretend that Rusev was Russian, right?
Well, yeah. Lana's doing the Russian accent.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he's like, you know how for a while, for most of his run, he was the Bulgarian brute, right?
Yes.
But at one juncture, I'm pretty confident he was just framed as being Russian. I may be wrong.
He was. He was just full-on Russian when he first came in.
How do you just change that stuff, though? That's not like...
Kofi was Jamaican, and now he's just, Kofi Kingston.
So when you think about concepts like that, it really does make you...
Dominic Dijakovic was a dude, and now he's wearing a mask, and he's called
now
T-Bar.
Now he's a dude.
Yeah, still just...
He was a dude, he's still a dude. Just with a mask. Great stuff. Gotta love it. Wish him best. Wish him the best. God bless him. Anyway.
Lana just had a Russian accent, and now she's just a TikTok dancer with no Russian accent.
You're a big fan. I felt bad. When I watched Raw this morning, I don't want to get into Raw. Whatever we do, just not discuss that.
Well, I mean, we're not going to discuss it on Thursday, so.
And I was watching as poor Lana fell short in a courageous feat, effort to become a Raw Women's Champion. I could think was poor Jez out there. Sitting through Raw for this, and all he gets is a couple sharp kicks to the spine and a submission finish.
me and Tape Machines were very, very disappointed over this. It should have happened. People got worked into thinking it was going to happen because I posted that image, and they were like, "Don't do this! Don't do this!" I was like, "I don't think it's going to happen," but I was rooting for it. I was rooting. You know my pitch, Joseph. Eva Marie, Melina, Lana. BSS, best star stable, make it happen.
I love that you did that on last Thursday's show, which was like this really like analytical program. Paul Will had prepared this whole list, and you just went, here he is, he's looking at his notes, and meanwhile in Gotham over there, you're doing this whole deal about like, then Melina, and then it was incredible stuff. By the way, Tape Machines, and I hope for his sake he never sees this, but his Twitter bit about Lana is glorious. Would you agree? The WWE superstar.
Yeah, CJ Lana Perry.
It's great. Speaking of great, Miro or mate? Miro or Hurt Business Mouthpiece? MVP. Miro or mate?
I don't remember any of MVP's like first run.
You don't remember his famed hot dog eating contest with Matt Hardy?
No, I don't.
You don't remember his famed one-on-one basketball game with Matt Hardy?
Actually, I do remember that.
Yes, good, yeah. Good.
Of course I remember the basketball stuff, not the hot dog eating stuff.
Yeah, so I assume you're taking Miro then in that case.
No, I'm taking MVP. Miro never had a basketball game, right? Did Miro
big
ever play?
Clippers fan.
He is a big Clippers fan. Poor guy.
Tough. That's tough. I mean, I sympathize with him in that regard, yeah, but that is, that's certainly tough. Big Montrezl Harrell guy too.
Yeah.
Then my sympathy drains at that point. I just think, you're asking for...
I don't have any sympathy, period, for him.
Yeah, it's true.
Not when it comes to the basketball stuff. No, I don't. Reminder, guys, you can...
You have sympathy for his WWF booking. You just to be clear, with the basketball stuff. Rest of it, that was out of
yeah, with this basketball fandom, I have no sympathy. Like, you chose that team. Look, my team's not in a great position. I mean, we own your entire future.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But we didn't want no titles either.
Shots fired. I hope he responds on the Twitch like he does to all Ben Carter signing rumors. Anyway.
Reminder, guys, let me get these plugs out of here, Joseph. Let me try to be professional for at least two minutes or so. Subscribe to the channel. Leave us a super chat. Get your question, comment, statement read on here. It can be about Scooby-Doo. It can be about Raw last night. It can be about anything. You know, just leave us a super chat. We appreciate that. Joseph will do more funny things in his accent. People liked that last week.
Wow.
I used Vestibule. Vestibule? Is that however you say it? I used it in an article. I'm a man of my word.
What was the article?
It was the Monty Brown promo article.
Oh, man. We should talk about Monty Brown.
We should.
Should we do that promo as like a film review? Just do it like frame by frame. Your fault. Anyway, back to Scooby-Doo. So we're at the final. We agreed we're at the final race, correct?
Yes, we're at the big final race. Let me first say this: we're at the big final race, because we've skipped over a lot of important plot points here. As they're trying to solve this mystery of who it is, they notice Vince McMahon is always, you know, going elsewhere, and so they're wondering if Vince is the Fire King demon here.
Yes.
Then they're wondering, like, why is he doing this? It's already his race. He's already making money. They're basically portraying Vince as a greedy man, saying, you know, he's going to make money off of this race, and he's going to win this race to get that money as well. So Vince is, like, kind of the lead suspect here. That's one plot point. There was another one. Oh, the other one was the authority keeps winning these races, right? So they're supposed to have an advantage in the final race because they've won the first two, and then before the final race, they're just like, nope, you don't get any advantage. It's not happening. So the first two races kind of seem pointless.
Wasn't it more than two? It feels like it was like eight races.
No, there was two races. There was two races.
Okay. So we agree Vince was the kind of leading suspect on the program. Who is your leading suspect internally on your big board of suspects?
Sting. Draft content? It was Sting. Yeah.
Was you a little bit suspicious of Dusty Rhodes? Because he always looked... He was always, like, standing in the shadows.
Sting.
That's definitely the Sting that fell off the stage in WCW. On fire. Steve Borden, he's got kids, as Scott Hudson famously told us. Back to Scooby-Doo. So I was suspicious
Who
was
yours?
Dusty.
Who did you think? You thought it was Dusty? Okay.
Because he was always sort of lingering, wasn't he? And he was constantly going on about the curse, and it was like, well, what's the deal with Dusty? Are you going to do something about the curse? Are you going to just keep whining about it? But it was not Dusty.
No.
I actually don't know what happened. Did Dusty, like, get in
there.
The final scene?
Yeah, he was there.
Was it like a triumphant moment?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it when we get there. I invited Cody Rhodes on this program today, and he was a coward, and he ducked me to talk about this film. Ducked us to talk about this film. Open invitation to any film review, any star of that film, to come on our show and review the film with us. We will not talk about anything else. We just want to talk about these films.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, sources say that Cody assumed we would ask about the women's division. And he was like, no way, it's not happening.
Let Cody know. Text Cody, tag Cody. They gave us phone number that 1 week, right? That was kind of a strange little bit they did. Message Cody. You don't remember this? Cody's like, text me now and get exclusive AEW updates or something. Dial 9-100-989-9900 for Cody Rhodes AEW updates. Let Cody know. We just want to talk about this movie with him. Tell him to DM me, and I'll bring him on right now.
So I was thinking the other day about what the All Elite Wrestling should do with Jim Ross if they ever, like, because he has a long contract, right? And if it ever gets to a point where he just can't be in the booth, what could he do?
That was 6 months ago.
My logical approach would be like, okay, he does the sit-down interviews. But then I came to the thought that he should be the hotline guy.
The Ross and Report.
And I don't want him to, like, ramp up his delivery. Like, I want him to sound completely uninterested. I want him to be like, yeah, there's a PWG guy we want to sign or something. call the hotline, and it like runs footage of him doing flips, and he's just like, yeah, there's another one coming in. Just, and then you know the famous shot where he looks towards the camera on the show he did with Russo back in the day. You know the famous one about WWF show, like just every segment has to end with that, no matter how much he doesn't want to do it. This is what I would do if I was. And it's not even poking fun at Jimmy. It's just the thought of it is too funny to pass up now that I've run out of considering. Anyway,
After you sold me on that, yeah, we want to sign a PWG, you sold me right there. I will subscribe to Jim Ross's hotline if that's what I'm getting.
Sources say we're tied to another luchador. Great stuff.
Give me like an excited Jim Ross. First, let me read the super chat from Tim Traver, who says, good afternoon, my Fightful family. Good afternoon, Tim. I hope you are doing well.
Good afternoon.
This Tuesday. Give me like an excited Jim. They're going after a former college football prospect.
Offensive linesman! That's what I've got.
Get the football, man!
One of my favorite Jim Ross ever is when it was like a WCW match where he's with Ventura, who didn't like working with him at all, and was just like, every person that came out, he would just tell you where he played football. And Jesse was like, where did Cactus Jack play? Poor Jim was just like, oh no. Like, he couldn't believe that Jesse was going to do this to him on air. Oh, glorious scene.
The
famous story is that the Scooby-Doo star, The Undertaker, when he was told Jim was coming to the WWF, famously said, he better not talk about me playing power forward in college. And that is the best thing ever. That's the best thing he's ever said, and it wasn't even on air. Anyway, that's it. That's that. Back to the next thing.
We've done Miro and Nate. Mystery or Machine, Joseph?
Yes.
Scooby-Doo or the Jetsons?
You remember my answer for the other one? About how I remembered one episode of Scooby-Doo and none of the other?
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo. I go Mystery on this one. Okay. Proceeding here. So the Inferno Man shows up again, and he kicks ass, and then the Undertaker comes out, and they do the animated equivalent of Luther and Jake Hager clashing in the AEW main event last week. And it's almost one of those things you think, I've got to see what this looks like. But there's a sort of awkwardness to it of two men that have never quite locked horns. It was quite the image. So here they were, going back and forth, and then eventually the Undertaker does a tombstone or something, and they pipe in "This is awesome" chants, which was pretty impressive. Have I missed anything in the final race before we get to the big reveal?
No.
Okay.
Wait. Shaggy and Scooby have to drive the car, right? They're driving the car, and they get the advice. It's a mystery machine now because the sub is drowned. They're driving the car, and the track is the pretzel. So they know the track because they know the pretzel. And Shaggy delivers the line, "I know the track like the back of my stomach." I don't know why this line got me.
It's something. Okay, I have no answer to that, so I'll simply say Miz or Mate. Miz or The big red machine, Kane. Miz or mate.
But he's always got his game show. He's in all these great films. He's doing great. Kane is, I don't know what he's doing. Wore a mask like his whole career. Can't wear a mask now for some reason.
In 10 years, when people make the distraction Wikipedia pages, they're going to log the results of these games. And it's going to have, like, Miz via not becoming mayor. Close brackets. That'll be the result of this one. That's fine. I guess it's time to do the reveal, right? Of who this was. Should we do that now?
Well, we gotta get to... So we got the big battle between The Undertaker and The Demon. After the race is over, by the way. The Mystery Machine has won. Big deal. Great job by them. So we get the big match between The Undertaker and not Sting. Undertaker hits the last ride, hits the tombstone, and once he hits the tombstone, the fire is extinguished, and this man's head. He has, like, a red head with fire and stuff. Yeah. He gets tombstone, and then he just comes, like, ice white. And that's it. That's the big battle. That's all I need. Undertaker, the Scooby-Doo streak lives, 1-0.
Do you want an explanation from me? It seemed that you were sort of... It seemed that you were hoping
I want you to break down this match. What did you give this match, Joe? How did you rate this match?
Well, I think the Inferno Man can really sell. But I was disappointed to see The Undertaker return to his sort of early 90s prototype of just not doing anything in matches. That was disappointing for me. But I assume it's one he'll reflect on fondly when he makes his documentary and retires in 35 years, won't you, Jeremy? I'm sure he'll look back on the classic tilt with the Inferno Man.
Do you think this was better or worse than his match with Giant Gonzalez?
It's better. Was it better or worse than his match with Triple H in Australia about 2 years
ago? Oh, 100% better, because this is like a 2-minute match, and that was a 52-minute match.
The best moment of the Last Ride series by far... was when, like, all these matches, Taker concedes defeat, and he's like, yeah, it sucked. Terrible match. Wasn't ready for it. He walks out of there with that match. He's like, that was old school. That was a classic. We just had a classic out of there. And it's like, these two guys are out of their mind. Like, the crowd sat there in silence almost until that horrid, that spot that Triple H loves where he, like, grabs the sledgehammer and the other man grabs his own weapon, and it's like, wow, what titans these two fellas are. Like, what an incredible scene. Anyway.
I disagree. The last part of The Last Ride is still the Goldberg match that they don't mention by name. That is actually a war that they went to.
I almost died out there in Saudi, man. I almost didn't come back from Saudi. People will never know what I went through in Saudi. Incredible scenes. Jeremy. We just recently mentioned this man. Miz or mate? Miz or his actual mate, Cody Rhodes.
Miz, I thought you said John Morrison.
No, he's banned.
Okay. Why is Cody Rhodes' actual mate? What kind of...
They're pals, aren't they?
Are they? I have no idea.
I thought that was the group, the friendship group was like, you know, Dolph, all of those guys. I thought they were all pals.
Oh, I just assumed Cody dropped them when he went to the Indies and AEW and stuff. You think they're still pals?
No. I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest. But I mean, Miz... Hey, I'll do it again. We mentioned this guy earlier, Jeremy. Miz, or definitely not a friend of his anymore, Cody Rhodes. Miz or mate?
You gotta go... I'm gonna go Cody. Miz has obviously had the much stronger WWE career. Cody is... I mean, Cody's doing his own reality show and stuff now. He's on game shows and whatnot. Miz could not do what Cody did. I will say that much.
What, the neck tattoo?
Yes, 100%. The neck tattoo. Okay. Miz could never pull... Dyeing his hair and the neck tattoo. Actually, you know what? I gotta go Miz. He was on the challenge. Challenge legend, The Miz. I don't know why I'm betting against The Miz here.
I would really enjoy an alternate universe in which we just switch Cody and Miz. And Miz did this whole thing. Miz had the Ring of Honor and all that. That would be quite the scene. Anyway, have we said who did the crime yet?
No, we're at the big reveal now. So they laid him out with the tombstone, and then they, you know, they tie him up or they hold his arms or whatever so they could pull the mask off. And who is it, Joseph? Who is... The demon, the speed demon fired man.
It was Hunter Paul Hurst Levesque Helmsley.
Was. Triple H. Triple H was behind it all, and the reason being, I don't even remember what the reason. The legitimate reason was they wanted to win, which made no sense to me because they were winning as the Authority. So why did you need to do this whole bit if you were already winning? I did not understand that at all. They had big, what do you call it? Airbag dummies of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's how the talc powder came into play. They were steering the Authority machine with just like, you know, Stephanie was in the passenger side steering just with her hands, while the big dummy Triple H was in the driver's seat just sitting there. That's how they were able to circumvent. Like, oh, we saw you both in the vehicle, so how did this happen? That's how it happened, everybody.
Why did Stephanie make friends with Daphne? Was that explained?
I don't know if Stephanie made friends with her. I think Daphne just admired her, because why wouldn't she?
But wasn't she trying to, like... Oh, I don't know. I thought she was trying to gain her trust or something.
It went that far. I think it was just, we both come from rich backgrounds. We have that in common. I want to be you when I grow up. I want to be a billion-dollar princess and the creator of women's wrestling.
That's fine. The inside bit that I mentioned was that the film closes with Vince McMahon singing the national anthem.
Yes.
Which is glorious, because Vince would never even listen to the national anthem, let alone sing it. Why would he do that when America the Beautiful is available? Never. Never would he ever.
That is why, yes, that is why Vince McMahon had sauntered off in those moments before the races, because he was taking singing lessons to get the national anthem down.
That's actually what happened, isn't it? When you initially started saying that, I thought you was doing a bit, and then I realized, no, that is actually it. This is Scooby-Doo, isn't it? I've just realized. Okay, Miz or Mate?
Wait. You want to know what happened with... Because are we done with the film review? Or do you have anything else?
I mean, I was done about half an hour ago. What do you want to add?
You asked where Dusty was at the end of all this. He does get a big triumph here, because the Mystery Machine wins, they get the prize money and everything. And they decide, the Scooby-Doo gang decides to give their half to Dusty Rhodes because of everything he had gone through. So they said, we support Dusty and his American dream, so we're going to give him our share of the prize money. And then Dusty's there, and he's like, oh, thank you, baby. And then that's pretty much it.
What was his thing that he wanted to do with the money? It was about his grandkids, right?
Oh, wasn't Dusty? Yeah. Oh, I don't know what Dusty wanted to do for the money. I remember what Undertaker wanted to do for the money. Do you remember what Undertaker was going to do with that money, Joseph?
I do not, no.
He was going to open up a puppet show. Undertaker loves puppets.
I have to go sidetrack here. I know, on this show, right? What a shocker. Is the Fiend's mask a clown mask? Genuine question that has become a confrontational element of my personal life. Please help.
What is it if it's not a clown mask?
Exactly. This is becoming like an actual... A friend of mine, and I will not name him because it could shame him in this case, is convinced that I am wrong about calling it a clown mask. Even when I explain to him that he has a cartoon hammer, he says, no, mate, no way, no clown mask.
What is it, just a scary mask? I mean, it's a scary clown mask, but it's a clown mask.
He goes, oh, no, the Fiend, the exact definition of the Fiend is an evil spirit. What are we doing here? That's the name of the thing. It's a clown mask. What's happening? Jeremy, I'm right here, aren't I? Please just confirm to me. I'm correct. This is a clown mask.
You're correct. It's a clown mask. Okay. I don't know anyway, what else it would be if it's not a clown mask.
Miz or Mate? This is a controversial one.
The Fiend? Are we doing The Fiend?
No, definitely not. This is the sort of thing they should have done on WWF backstage. Miz or CM Punk? Miz or Mate?
Wow.
Yes.
Only one is headlined WrestleMania, so I gotta go with that guy.
Okay. Poor Phil just put his arm through the wall in rage. He was with us all the way, but that was a step too far. I mean, he would be great. We should get him as a guest, and he could come on and he could be like, yeah, the women's division's good, NXT's pretty fun, that's all my takes for modern wrestling. We'd be like, yeah, great stuff. Clip it up, guys. Punk is back in the game.
Well, if you pick a CM Punk film for next week, I will extend the open invitation to him to join us for whatever film he's in.
You have three options for next week. But do you want me to rate this film first? Is that what you'd like me to do first?
Is that, well, let me get to Mystery or Machine.
Okay, yeah.
Mystery or Machine, Scooby-Doo or Yogi Bear?
So, on the other two, I had that answer, right? Where I said I remember like one... And the one episode I remember was the Harlem Globetrotters, I believe. I have no recollection of Yogi Bear. Not once do I remember watching.
What did you watch on Saturday mornings, Joseph?
Apparently, WWF SmackDown, the way it turned out in my life. I don't know, man. And the thing is, I'm not even doing a bit because I would really enjoy playing the game. I have no memory of these shows. I mean, I'm aware of them. I'm not saying I've never heard of them. I'm just saying I never remember in my life watching them. So with that being said, it's a clean sweep for Mystery, who takes it 3-0. Do we rate the film now, Jeremy? I'm very confused.
Yeah, let me find my phone here and pull up the ratings.
Okay, this has been quite the fiasco, as I said. We've done okay. We've made it through thus far.
All right, Scooby-Doo. It's such a long title.
Yeah, it's very unnecessary. Okay, I mean, this is a difficult one because this is a competent film. And that isn't usually our jam here, right? However, it is not competent in the way where I, like, thoroughly enjoy it because it's a Scooby-Doo film. So for that reason... I'm thinking of 5, but I want to first know what I've given a 5 to, which I think I asked you.
You ask that literally every single week.
Yes.
5 has No Holds Barred, Suburban Commando, 12 Rounds 2, Santa's Little Helper, Ready to Rumble.
Well, I think Santa's Little Helper is a good ally to this, because this is obviously better, objectively, but I enjoyed Santa's Little Helper more because I enjoyed the fact that we watched 4 Christmas films in a row in August. So for that reason, I'm going with 5 for Scooby-Doo and the Curse of 1,000 Races.
Before I give my rating, we have a super chat from Jobber JTG who says, Retribution versus New Blood. Who wins? Have a good one. Who wins, Joseph?
Oh my goodness, this is the stuff of dreams. Okay. I think we both agree Retribution is much more talented, right? Like, piece for piece.
I don't even remember who was in New Blood.
Saying that, no, because I'm thinking of the Natural Born Thrillers. New Blood was just like 100 guys.
Yeah.
Oh my god, New Blood would murder them. They've got like 50 dudes on there.
I mean, Retribution has 50 dudes too. They have like 4 main guys, but then they got all those people underneath the mask.
Right.
They got the little kid who showed up that first week. Little tiny dude.
This is too serious a question for me to just skim over. I'm headed now to the New Blood Wikipedia page as I try to figure out if this is quite the dominance that I... Oh, my good God. The members is extraordinary. I'm going to list all of these off to you right now. Top on the list, David Arquette. Mike Awesome. Buff Bagwell. Bam Bam Bigelow. Peak New Blood 2000. Booker T. Crowbar. Disco Inferno. Shane Douglas. David Flair. Goldberg. Bret Hart. Bret the Hitman, I don't think that's even true. Do you have any recollection of Bret Hart being
no
in the New
recollection
Blood?
Of Bret Hart being in the New Blood.
No. Hoovy, Horace Hogan, Mark Jindrak, Johnny the Bull, Chris Kanyon, Billy Kidman, Conan, Ernest the Cat Miller, Rey Mysterio Jr., Sean O'Hare, Chuck Palumbo, Reno, Mike Sanders, Sean Stasiak, Lance Storm, Vampiro, Big Vito, The Wall, leaders of the New Blood, Eric Bischoff, Vince Russo, Jeff Jarrett. Managers, I'm not even going any further. The New Blood is destroying Retribution.
Let me ask you a very important question though, Joseph.
Okay.
We know the New Blood can drop blood from the ceiling, right? We know they can do that.
Yeah, they can.
Can they screw with all the lights? Can they screw with the production? You know, can they, you know, they shut the lights off, they come back on. Can they do that? Do they have Molotov cocktails? Do they have cinder blocks that they throw through a window? And once that window is smashed, they throw the cinder block through that same window, another cinder block? Can they do that?
I don't think it matters, because if you're in the arena, they can drop blood on you. So, like, even if the lights go out,
but,
the blood is dropped.
But they have a hacker. They have a hacker, though. So what if the New Blood is in the ring, and then the hacker from Retribution, or anybody from Retribution, because it seems like they were doing this even before they had a hacker, drops the New Blood on the New Blood?
Then it's trouble.
Yeah.
But there are some guys on that new blood roster that don't need to be hacked anytime soon. I'll tell you that much for sure. I mean, there's certainly elements to it that are sort of dangerous for the new blood, but generally speaking, they have about 100 guys in their army, and Retribution, since they were given contracts, has come down to about 5 people now. And the clown beat them all up.
They've actually lost a member since. I mean, I guess they gained a leader, but they lost a member since signing contract. It depends on what we're talking. If we're doing just a straight-up wrestling match, New Blood, their top guys are going to beat anybody from... I mean, Retribution can't even beat the Hurt Business right now, okay? They ain't beating Cedric Alexander. They ain't beating Bret Hart and Goldberg, all right, folks? If we're talking about, like, a mental tactical warfare here, I'm taking Retribution.
You're out of your mind. They've got the leadership trio of Vince Russo, Jeff Jarrett, and Eric Bischoff.
Look, I agree there's a lot of potential there. I agree.
It's like the San Antonio Spurs coaching staff in wrestling.
What did they do with the New Blood, though, besides just drop a bunch of blood down? They didn't do anything with them as the leaders. I've seen what Retribution can do.
They earned a pay-per-view name that they wasn't even around long enough to make it to. That takes skill, doesn't it? New Blood Rising, they're long gone. Where's Retribution Rising? Not happening. Doesn't need it. Everyone knows that.
Did you see that promo by Ali last night? Everybody's pumped for Retribution. They're on track, baby.
Yeah. I mean, if you missed the first hour of the show, you'd be like, wow, this is really starting to pick up now. But unfortunately, I assume you were supposed to see that other stuff. So anyway, that's for Thursday. And by for Thursday, I mean we'll never talk about it on the show. So yes. Yeah.
We have a super chat from Drew Nicholas who says, the next Scooby-Doo and WWE movie should have best heel in the business, Baron Corbin, as the villain. He's already booked as a Scooby-Doo villain on TV anyway. That's fair, actually.
It actually would be great, I must say. I mean, there are moments where you have to catch yourself watching WWE TV and be like, wow, this stuff is really out of control. And he is at the sort of center of a lot of those. And I don't think it's ever his fault. But whenever they just get a shot of him, you know the classic WWE shot of the guy warming up for his match and it's like, up next. Whenever they do that with Corbin and it's just him putting his like king attire on, it's like, man, this stuff's out of control. So yes, that would be very good. I agree.
We will certainly cast Baron Corbin in the next Scooby-Doo film. We didn't do a sequel for this film. I don't know if we can.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that now. So
I gotta give my rating.
Okay, sorry. I'm so scared of what it will be that I almost cut you off.
I'm scared of what it will be.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this film... It was fine. It was a nice little kids film. It was only an hour and 20 minutes. I'd rather watch this than Raw. We're going to give it 2.75. All right.
Wow, that's an Alexa Bliss pay-per-view title match. You should be proud. That's like one of the ones where she'll do like a false finish. Good stuff. Love it.
2.75.
Solid. In fact, I'm going to have to update that to the Bayley's pay-per-view title match, just for controversial points. You have 3 options next week, my friend.
Jeez.
One of them is up my alley, as an analyst. The other one is continuing on the path we're on, and the third one is a completely different world, which you seemingly want to enter. So this is what I'm going to give you, okay?
Oh, God.
First option. This is the one carrying on as we are. We can watch the other Scooby-Doo WWE film. I will say, before we did this review, I was not keen on that idea, but this has been quite an extraordinary time we've had here, so I'm not against that.
Can't wait to play more Mystery or Machine next week if we review Scooby-Doo.
Of course. Next week it'll be like, Mystery or Machine, Scooby-Doo or WWF Heat? Wow. This thing is. Okay. On the analyst side, the real, you know, we're talking serious film breakdown. The Wrestler, which is a real cheery hour and a half of our time, okay? Or we enter a whole other medium, a whole other world, as we review Elias' album that I believe is out next Monday. We can do... Now, here's the thing about that that needs to be stressed. If that's coming out on Monday, we're going to have a day of just 1-2.
Yeah.
Like, okay, and that may be for the best, I think, to be honest.
We're going to have to listen to it, like, right before the show.
Yes. Well, I think this is good. I think this is a good thing. We'll have the first review on the market easily, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're doing. I have to yell at these fools in the chat. It's already posted. Okay. Sorry.
People being yelled at. This is very scary. Okay. What's the deal here, Jeremy? What one are you choosing here?
Oh, we're going with the Elias album.
You didn't even feel the need to answer. You was like, it's just an idea.
Yeah, you didn't see. Brain. Yeah. I mean, I put that on Twitter last night. That song he did last night was good. I was going to review this album in written form, regardless. Because I reviewed the Enzo album. And look, nothing can be worse than that thing. I've reviewed the Leo Rush album as well. I was 100% going to review the Elias album. And I'll still do a written review. But the people wanted it for the distraction.
They do. Okay. Well, if there's one thing we do here, it's give the people what they want. Right? So that's...
Yeah.
That's where we're at next week. What's the name of that?
He didn't know the name, so why are we supposed to know it?
What was it called?
Universal Truth. Universal Truth.
Terrible, terrible album title for all that. Good.
Do you see the layers? There's layers there. There's layers there, Joseph.
What the... No, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Universal title. WWE R-Truth. Universe. WWE Universe, you know.
All truth.
His truth. He's speaking his truth to the WWE Universe.
The 24/7 9/11 champion, quote Charlie Crusoe. God bless her. Wish her luck. Did you see that, Jeremy? Just to be clear, I'm not alone on that.
Which
did you
one?
See this?
What?
The Charlie Crusoe thing that happened today.
No.
Yeah, last night.
No.
She legitimately called R-Truth the 24/7 9/11 champion live on the WWE Network.
Oh, no.
And boy, as someone who says a lot of dumb stuff on air, man, have I seen that look before? That was quite the sight.
Yeah, R-Truth does a very good job because it's 24/7, 7/11, I-95, yeah. Interstate yeah. champion. That's what he says. Yes.
I did just put myself on Charlie Crusoe's level as a broadcaster. I want everyone to know I just
it's
did
fair.
That.
It's fair.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so this has been... wow, I'm not sure we'll ever top this, Jeremy. I don't know if we spoke about the film, but we had quite a lot of fun along the way, didn't we?
All right, everyone. We're done. We're out, I think. We're reviewing Elias next week. I'm so pumped for this Elias album review. I don't think it's going to be a long album. Like, I think it's only going to be like six or seven songs. No.
You don't think he's going to be a long album? No. Okay.
I hope Elias, I hope he's dropping, you know, 14 bangers, 3 bonus tracks, and everything. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. But I think it's only going to be like 6 tracks.
I hope he goes like 4 artists with it, and there's a track on there that's like 11 minutes long.
Yeah.
Just like, that would be quite the party on his part. I just hope this is a real album now, because if not, boy, we're going to have quite the task in our hands.
I'm pretty sure it's a real album.
The gimmick was definitely initially supposed to be that we laughed at Elias, and now he seems to have convinced himself that this is just his way to make music. So that I say, oh, wow. Good on you, Elias. Good for you. Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll be back on Thursday talking wrestling, I think.
We'll decide on that later.
there's an Impact show this weekend. There's WWE Hell in a Cell this weekend. So there's actual shows this weekend. So we'll be back on Thursday talking that. Friday, I think we're doing TEW booking, yes?
We may have to change the date because I believe I am booked for a viewing of the 1960 Cinemax special Psycho on Friday. That's where I'm at in my life, folks. You're asking me about whether I remember the Flintstones. Yeah, very different time in my life. But yes, it'll be this week. We'll do something this week, definitely.
Okay. Joel Pearl and I are playing video games at some point tonight, probably like 10 o'clock. So, again, subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel, youtube.com/Fightful. Leave a thumbs up. Tap the bell for notifications. We appreciate everyone in the super chat. We appreciate everyone in the chat just hanging out with us. I enjoy doing these live shows. I don't know about you. It's nice because they're just done and I don't have to deal with any of the other stuff, uploading it and whatnot.
It's definitely a case of like pros and cons for you because you're both looking at the chat as well as not having to do that work. For me, I'm literally doing the exact same thing. It could not be any different other than the fact that every once in a while I learn a new word, which is appreciated along the way. So yeah, it's fun for me too.
All right, everybody. We appreciate you listening. We'll be back on Thursday. The Distraction, 7 p.m., Fightful.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.